The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, church. My name is Dusty White. I'm one of the pastors here at Coram Deo, and it's my joy and honor to be preaching to you this morning. It's my birthday, and so, not bad, huh? And so, you know, when we were figuring out the preaching schedule, I just said, hey, if I'm going to preach, I want to preach on my birthday. And so, you know, Jesus' birthday, my birthday, pretty comparable. Maybe not. My birthday was a big deal to about, like, four people. And since Jesus was born, we've been reading about it ever since and worshiping because of it. And so, again, it's just great to be with you here this morning. I want to tell you a quick story about my house. The way my house is orchestrated is we don't really use the front door every day. We do that for guests and people that are coming to see us and the mail, things like that. But every day, day in and day out, we use the garage door, and so we come in through the garage. And then when you come into our entryway from the garage, you either go down about six steps to our basement, which is the kid-proofed area, and you can't really break anything down there but our TV. And if that got broke, it probably wouldn't be a big deal. And then, or you turn left and you go up about two or three stairs into our kitchen. And then in the kitchen, we have this little nook area, and that's where my wife has her computer, and that's where meals are made. And there's just, my house, probably like yours, there's just lots of activity in the kitchen all the time. And so when my kids are downstairs, just a few stairs down, we can kind of turn around the corner just real quick and say, hey guys, what's going on down there? You know, just give us an update. Or, you know, like, you're within earshot, and so you can hear what's going on down there. We have four kids, and three that are typically down there a lot. And so sometimes, I don't know about your kids, but mine don't always get along. And so sometimes we have to referee. Sometimes I can just come around the corner and yell down and be like, hey, what's going on down there? Why don't you work that out? Figure that out. Don't make me come down there, right? Stuff like that. And sometimes that'll work. And oftentimes it doesn't. And so sometimes I yell, and then, you know, like, I walk a few paces back and I go, no, I got to go down there. And so 30 seconds go by, a minute, I'm downstairs and I'm in the middle of my kids and I'm saying, hey, what? Why are you bleeding? And why are you crying? And what's going on here? And she said that and he did this. And sometimes I got to actually separate them, right? We can't just work it out right there. Sometimes we got to go to our rooms, sit in certain spots, talk through the White House values of our selfishness and things like that. And we gotta pull our kids out of that chaos and enter into it as well, right? So sometimes I can yell down the stairs and they figure it out. Oftentimes, though, I got to go downstairs, enter into the chaos with my children, and separate them. So what my kids need in those moments is not necessarily just discipline or order, but they need my presence, right? They need the presence of their father or the presence of their mother coming down into the chaos, entering into it with them, and sorting things out. Because we need God with us, we rejoice in the coming of Jesus as Emmanuel. I don't know about you, but sometimes there's struggles and chaos in my own life, sometimes insecurity. This results also with my kids, right? I have to enter into their chaos with them. God, through Jesus as Emmanuel, enters into our chaos with us. The word Emmanuel actually means God with us. And so this morning, we're just going to camp out in a few different areas. And it's really all going to just kind of collide and pivot on the word Emmanuel, Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. So here's where we're headed. I'll tell you where we're headed, and then we'll go there this morning. First of all, why do we need God with us? Jesus, Emmanuel, Christmas story, got it. We talk about this annually. Why do we really need God with us? Secondly, how is God with us? So after I need God with me, and I understand, okay, that's why I need God with me, how is he with me? How is he with us? And then lastly, where we'll spend most of our time this morning is just, so what? Why do I need God with me? How is he with me? And just at the end of the morning, so what? Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, the account of Jesus' birth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to the son. And he called his name Jesus. Why do we need God with us? You and I need God with us because we're actually created for God. We were made for him. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We need God with us because we were actually made for God. So as we understand creation and we understand original glory, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we understand that we are created for God. So we need God with us because we're made for him. As we read into Isaiah, we need God with us because we're made for God, but we've also been separated from him. We learn in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, we read this, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. We need God with us because we were made for him, for his glory. And at the same time, Genesis chapter 3, we have been separated from God. One of God's goals through the prophet Isaiah is to just simply point us towards the gospel message, the truth that is coming. We're actually without hope if we're left in just the fall, right? And so it's very important for us to see the entire narrative of creation, fall, and redemption, and ultimately consummation. But in between the fall and redemption, we have Christmas. Jesus is born, a Redeemer has been born. And Isaiah is pointing us that way. Isaiah 7:14 says, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So, again, the prophet Isaiah is simply pointing us towards the person of Jesus Christ and the good news that he brings. He calls our attention to the name of God, first in Isaiah 7, verse 14, Emmanuel. We needed a God who would be with us. We're created for God, by God, unto God for his glory. And we need a God who is going to be with us. We need God with us because we're actually made for him and separated from him through sin. So the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, is simply pointing us towards Jesus, the anticipation of Emmanuel, a God who would be with us. Again, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, what I want you to understand in Emmanuel is that God has been born unto us, a Redeemer has been born. For humanity, that means that we don't have to be left in our depravity. Creation, fall. We don't have to be left in the fall because a Redeemer has been born. Again, it's very important to see the entire story fold out. The story of Jesus is not about just a broken down stable. It's not about no room at the inn for this young teenage daughter. It's not about Joseph, the blue-collared guy who became a dad. It's not all about those things, although those things probably deserve their own Christmas sermon. There's probably a lot to unpack in those things. It's not about the Holy Spirit, although maybe it is. There's so much packed in the Christmas story, and I just want to encourage you this week as we enter into Saturday that you actually reflect on Matthew chapter 1 and look for some more of those things. The story of Jesus is about a Savior who has come to live with us. Jesus has come to be Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew is simply appealing to the prophet Isaiah, saying, hey, what I'm saying here is in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. So here's what Isaiah is saying. Isaiah is saying, a Redeemer is coming and he will be with you. Matthew is saying, a Redeemer has been born and he is with you. So, just to summarize again, Isaiah is saying, a Redeemer is coming and he will be with you. Matthew's saying, a Redeemer has been born, and he is with you. Because you need God with you, you rejoice in the coming of Jesus as Emmanuel. Or you should be, especially this week. So, why do we need God with us? We're created for him, for his glory, but we are separated by sin. We need a God who could be with us. We also need a God who could just enter into our reality. So, how is God with us? So, sure, I need God with me. How does that play out? How is God with us? God with us is realized most fully in Jesus coming as Emmanuel. In the person of Jesus Christ, we see how Emmanuel is like us and unlike us. So we see how Jesus, embodying Emmanuel, is like us and also unlike us. He's like us in the fact that he was tempted, he was distressed, he suffered, he was tempted, he experienced sorrow, he went through pain. Let me just say that Jesus is the only God that you will ever hear preached about that came down from heaven, got off of his throne, entered into humanity to be God with you. Every other religion is going to tell you different things. Jesus gets off his throne, enters into humanity, and is God with us. That's different from every other religion that you will ever understand. He felt what we feel, he faced what we faced, and yet remained sinless. This also means that because God is with us, we can actually run towards him in times of need. But Jesus the Emmanuel is also unlike us. He's like us in the fact that he was fully man. He's also unlike us in the fact that he was fully God. To redeem man, Christ first had to become a man. This is how he's unlike us. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. So we rejoice and we find great comfort in this reality that Jesus is like us and he's also unlike us. He's the mediator between our sinful, broken humanity, and he's also the one sinless God who enters in, and he alone is the God-man. You want to think about superheroes, right? I was going to come up with just some good superhero analogies, but Jesus, like, he just is. He's the God and the man. Jesus coming as Emmanuel is unlike any other religion. Again, when you compare Jesus and living a life centered on the gospel, which is what we're always going to talk about at Coram Deo, when you compare that to other religious circles, you're going to see clearly that God has come to you. Every other religion has some sort of ladder to climb, right? Or penance to pay, or some sort of confession to a man. Jesus shatters all of that and just comes down, gets off his throne, enters into humanity. I also think it's important just to note here, especially in Omaha, that we live in a very religious city. It's predominantly Catholic, and you also run into a lot of Lutherans. And I love those people dearly. I come from half of my whole family is Catholic. But I also see just this sense of people being worn out. They're just tired. They're just tired of religion. And again, Jesus and the gospel-centered life is totally different. God has come to us. And I'm not thinking this up. This has not been thought up. If you just read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see that Jesus, again, is just the entire pivotal point of the whole narrative. Because we need God with us, we rejoice in the coming of Jesus as Emmanuel. So what? We need God with us. Jesus embodies Emmanuel. So what? I experienced this in 2004. My wife and I, JC and I, and Landon, who was our only son at the time, shipped across the U.S., landed in the San Francisco Bay Area to do college ministry at a local church. And we were really convicted about that. Felt like that's where God was moving us, pulling us in that direction. And so faithfully, just trying to hear his voice and obey, we moved there and we dove right in. And two Midwesterners, right? And so we're diving in the Bay Area and we just loved it. We loved the culture. We loved that white people were a minority. We loved that our kids were going to grow up just in a very diverse culture. And everything was just like lining up. We had this new ambition. We were really excited. And because of that, about every other weekend or at least once a month, we probably were at Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz, for those of you who have been there, is I don't have to explain that. It's a pretty interesting place. You just never know what you're going to get in Santa Cruz. It's really eclectic. And again, coming from Nebraska, you'll just go to Santa Cruz just to people watch because it's just a weird place. And that was our first Urban Outfitters experience. And so we walked into Urban Outfitters, and Urban Outfitters in Santa Cruz is just way different than Omaha Urban Outfitters. It's like, it's just different. I think maybe it was born in Santa Cruz. Maybe not. Anyway, there was this really cool orange rug, and we wanted to buy that rug, and then we saw this thing that was 50% off. So it was $100, and we're like, man, we're going to get it for $50. We lugged this huge rug up to the cash register. This thing was huge, and we flop it down, you know, and it rang up as $25. So now we're like stoked because it was 50% off 50%, right? It was like, great, amazing. So we take that rug home, we throw it on our new, you know, we've only been there a couple months up on this floor, and we love it. It wasn't until about 3 or 4 months into that California experience where I found myself face down on that orange rug in my living room, wondering why God had brought me there. And so I sat there and I wrestled. It wasn't like a really long duration of time. It was like 10 to 15 minutes. And I just wrestled. I was just like, man, God, why are we here? Like, what are we doing here? What's going on? All the ambition and energy that I had, it's dried up. I'm just messing things up. I was just like, man, I just want to go home, wherever that is. I was home. I'm face down on this rug, and I just remember whining and groaning, you know, and just grumbling. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I was doing that day. And I remember my wife coming around the corner from our kitchen in our dining room and just saying, Dusty, get up. Because if God has brought us here, then he is with us here. And I was like, man, that's good. That's good right there. Because theologically, right? Like theologically, I knew that. Man, God's brought us here. And even the Christmas story, right? Like Emmanuel, yeah, got it. God is with us. I know that. But then like in the real life circumstance, face down on the orange rug in my living room, just going, God, what? Why? Why are we here? Why is this happening? And I knew that was really good because my wife said it and she's like a lot smarter than me most of the time. And B, just because it's true, right? Like it's a deep theological truth. Right here, Matthew chapter 1, Jesus comes on the scene and he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Why don't I live my life that way? What would happen if we lived our life like God was with us? One of the reasons that we don't cherish God as Emmanuel, I truly believe this, is because we get stuck in the past and the future. And I'll explain that. We get stuck in the past and we get stuck in the future, and we don't live in the present. The past says things like, man, I love what God has done. I love what God has done. And the future says things like, man, I like what God is going to do. He's going to work this all out in the end. I like that. I take a lot of security in that. God's going to work this out. But the present says things like I was saying in that orange rug, right? Like, man, I'm not sure why God is doing this. I'm not sure what God has in store here. I'm not sure what's going down. Or things like, man, I don't usually like how God is allowing this. Have you ever thought this way? Maybe I'm alone. I'll preach to myself. The past, we all do this, right? Like, you hear people talk about really traumatic experiences or really fun times or whatever the category is. It's just, there's just this attitude of, man, I'm so glad that that's over and that God brought me through that. Or, man, that was a really fun time, and I'm just glad that we got to do that together. And we live in the glory days. The future says things like, man, someday it's not going to be this way. Someday it's not going to be like that. And we get thinking about new heavens and new earth and how just eventually the groaning on the orange rug will be gone. But we don't live in the present. Let me just land the plane here for you really quick and just make you think about this week in particular. The last few days, this weekend. Have you caught yourself thinking about this? Why do I have to go to this Christmas party? Or why do I have to be with these people or interact with this situation over Christmas? I mean, why do I just have to do this? Or things like, man, I don't want to spend that much on that person. Right? Like, how do we agree on $30? Like, that's a lot for you. Like, I don't even see you. $30? Or maybe you're traveling, and especially this week, I'm sure a lot of you are going to be traveling. Some of you are going to be having people come into town, and you're already looking at your travel schedule going, man, like, that looks like a long time. I'm not sure I want to be there that long. Or, it's not going to be that bad. They're only going to be here for 2 or 3 days, and we're going to be busy the whole time, so it's going to work out. You actually hate it when everybody has to act like they like Aunt Betty's weird recipe at Christmas, right? You don't really like it. This last Monday, I was at Panera, and I was going to do some studying in the morning, so I'm in line. It's kind of a long line. There's a few people in front of me. It was kind of slow, and these two ladies were behind me, and it was really interesting to listen to myself in their story, and so it was just very convicting for me, and these two ladies are talking about how, man, yeah, just Christmas. The one lady starts with, so you guys ready for Christmas? No, we're not. In fact, our dryer went out, and so we just decided we're not going to do Christmas. We have to buy a new washer and dryer. And this is her attitude in telling her friend this story, right? So, like, basically justifying the fact that we don't have to do Christmas because we need a washer and dryer, and that's where all our Christmas money's going. The other friend, and so then she went back to this friend, and the other friend was like, oh, yeah, we're all gift cards this year. All gift cards. Right? And when you're saying that, really what you're saying is like, man, I'm just going to get Christmas done. I'm just going to get it over with. The gift card is the new American way, right? Like, it's like, man, I don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about what you would actually enjoy, so I'm just going to buy you some more money to hopefully a place that you might like, right? I do it all the time. And I caught myself hearing their story, basically, and the other guy also said stuff like, man, I need to do makeup, So I went to the mall, and the mall was crazy busy because of Christmas, you know, and so I couldn't even get my makeup because I had to wait in line, and it was just very interesting because I was hearing myself in their story kind of with a little angst as well, and we totally miss it. We totally miss Emmanuel, that God is with us. Let me give you just a quick challenge here. Listen to yourself talk this week as you anticipate Saturday, and see if you can catch yourself not living in the present. If you don't usually live in the present, if you're one of those past people or futuristic people, I want to ask you or challenge you on Do you really live like God is with you? You might not understand that. If you don't usually like what God is doing, you most likely don't believe that God is with you. Sure, maybe theologically you align with it. And the Christmas story, you know, it's not bad. You agree, but like when it comes to God being with you in your life, I just want to ask you, do you live that way? Do you live like God is with you? The events of the past and the hope of the future should push us to live today in the present. Jesus as Emmanuel also shatters your compartmentalized life, right? In other words, if you try to categorize the areas of your life where you let God be with you and you don't let God be with you, Jesus as Emmanuel just wrecks that whole idea. He enters into your depravity. He enters into your temptation. He enters into your almost divorce. He enters into everything that you're facing. You can't compartmentalize that. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then he shatters a compartmentalized life. I want to say this too, that although God might not approve of everything, he is with you in everything. Emmanuel means that God is with us. And so although he might not approve of everything, he is with you in everything. Here's some examples. Loneliness, divorce, contentment, temptation, stress, finances, transitions through different life stages. This week, it was on Friday. Some friends of ours had a baby this last week. And on Friday, we found out that the mom was just undergoing tons of physical issues, just tons of pain, couldn't stand, couldn't walk, couldn't sit, couldn't nurse, couldn't. So she's hospitalized. And I'm on the phone with my friend who's the husband. And this is a family that 4 years ago was just not going to have babies. They just couldn't. They had tons of infertility struggles. And so they were just going to go through with adoption. And that was where they were headed. And as soon as they got a little bit further down the road on adoption, God blessed them with a baby. And so they have a 2-year-old boy. And now they have a week-old girl. But now mom is going through all these issues. And because I was thinking this way, because I was thinking that God is with us in all things, I was able to say, hey man, look at what happened. Like, years ago, you didn't have any of your own children, and God has blessed you with that. God has been with you in all of those struggles, all the way through infertility to birth. And now, yeah, your wife is struggling, and she's at the hospital, and we're praying for her. But God is with you in that. And also, this side of heaven, this is the worst it gets. And you're experiencing blessing. Also met with a guy this week, the pastors and I, and it just became apparent in this particular appointment that this guy just really had a lot of fear and anxiety of being alone. He's been through a divorce, and he was able to say with just kind of this angst in his soul, man, I don't want to be alone. You guys aren't alone. Don't talk to me about being alone. And I was able to say, hey, man, sure, this is different from somebody sitting across the table from you, but God is with you in this. He is in your world. God as Emmanuel is God with us every day, all day in your life. Another couple who's anticipating divorce, just kind of thrown in the cards, said, man, we've tried, we've worked it out, we've done the best we can. And yeah, like gospel, theology, we love it, and now their perspective is just like, we just need to get through this divorce so that like we can be done and look back and just get busy living. And my war cry with them is, what if God enters into divorce with you? What if instead of divorce, since it grieves the heart of God, you look at, man, God is with us in this. What if the husband started repenting of sin? What if the wife owned hers? And what if reconciliation happened because God is with them in that struggle? What would happen then? I I've had to preside over a couple of funerals, and funerals are interesting. You've been to funerals, and at the luncheon, people say things like, well, she's gone to be with the Lord, which is true most of the time. And or you hear phrases like, she's looking down on us, which might be true. But in the back of my head, I'm asking the question, are you sure? Like, not like eternal security kind of sure, but like, to the second question, well, she's looking down on us. Really? You're telling me that a gal that just experienced the glory of Jesus' presence is looking down on us. She's worshiping Jesus. She's in the presence of God. God is with her. She's with God. And she's concerned about us. Maybe not. Maybe she's so encapsulated, engulfed with Jesus and being with God, that maybe she's not so concerned about us. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she is. Maybe she's snow. That's a sign of the fall. It's really cold down there. Snowing again. Oh, mac and cheese again. That's great. Oh, he's going to work and coming home from work and going back to work and he's coming home from work. I mean, maybe she is looking down on us, but I'm just asking, like, what if she's not? What if she is actually in the presence of God in a way that you and I can't understand? And what if Jesus' prayer really came true, that we actually lived life on earth as it is in heaven with the presence of God with us? Jesus comes as Emmanuel. Christmas Day is on Saturday, and between now and then, lots of you are going to travel. Lots of you are going to have company in. Some of you are going to be screwing around for your last-minute gift cards, like me. Nothing wrong with gift cards. And I just want you to know that this week, God is with you. It's bigger than this week, but I want you to just think about it this week. I think that'd be a pretty suffice goal. So as you start to get cynical or even just really excited, God is with you. As you look forward to Saturday, just remember that God is with you. I want to give you a really just encouraging text that captures Christmas. It captures Emmanuel. It also looks forward to Easter and captures the idea that Christmas looks forward to the cross. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, that Nathan read for us at the beginning. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He came down as a baby. It made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus was born. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been working really hard, preaching towards and praying towards Advent with an anticipation of Jesus. He's our prophet, he's our priest, he is our king, and he is Emmanuel, which means that he is with us. Because we need God with us, we rejoice in the coming of Jesus as Emmanuel. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we need you with us. We do rejoice this morning especially in the fact that you came down as a baby, entered into humanity, took the form of a man, and humbled yourself that much. You got off your throne, came into our chaos, to save us. God, forgive us for not remembering your presence all the time. God, I pray that as a church this week that we would move towards Christmas on Saturday with just an anticipation of you coming as Emmanuel, a God who is with us. God, also pray just specifically for just people facing challenges this week in particular with family dynamics and traveling and things that are going on, that you would just remind all of us that you are with us. God, we rejoice and we just take a lot of hope in the fact that you got down to our level, became a baby, and went to the cross for our salvation. You have been born, you have redeemed us, and we rejoice. In Jesus' name, Emmanuel. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information about Coram Deo, visit our website at cdomaha.com.